Dear Christopher and Amanda, Richard and Amy, Dan and Angie, family and friends, and of course the South Side of Omaha, who has joined us here to celebrate the life as we lay to rest a sister in Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our resurrected and victorious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, as the family gathered together earlier this week to make preparations for the day, we decided we'd just have the hymns that she had selected. So everything you've sung today is what she wanted at her funeral. In fact, as our organist played on a Sunday morning, she'd say, "I don't want this one at my funeral, but I want this one." And we limited, I think, just the four today, so that's okay. But we also decided, the family did, to include the readings that were used during Claire's funeral a few years back. And so they're the exact same readings that seem awfully appropriate. After all, you have the reading from Job, it's the assurance of the resurrection. Even after our body has been destroyed, yet with my eyes I will see the Lord. This is a great word to hear on a day like today. Then we went on the book of Revelation. Revelation was great because it talks about what life in heaven is all about. He says that they will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And I thought on a day like today, that's a great message to hear, because it's nice to hear that our mourning will one day end and death will be no more. Funeral directors will be out of the job and I will never have to preach another funeral sermon. And this is a glorious thing. But the text that really caught my eye was the last one from John 10 in the Gospel, where John speaks of Christ writing his words and says, "I am the good shepherd." And he goes on to declare that, "I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." That is an awesome piece of scripture, especially for a day like today. Because it tells me that we have a good shepherd that knows us. Today he knows what you need. You need a word of comfort, a word of salvation, and a word of hope. Your shepherd knows the pain you experience at the loss of a dear mother, stepmother, or whatever your relationship, family and friends, however you're connected, it fills our hearts with sorrow. Because her voice is now stilled and her place is now left vacant. But it also tells me that we have a good shepherd that certainly knew Carolyn Oakleberry. He knew her very well. Now, if you knew Carolyn Oakleberry, you knew that she liked to play golf. And up until the time she got COPD and had to drag around her oxygen thing, she would play 5 days a week, 18 holes, 5 days a week. Amazing. She was a good golfer. In fact, it was 4 years ago or so that she shot her first hole in one, and she had a newspaper article to prove it. So if you want to question the facts, you'll have to deal with the Lincoln Journal Star. But many golfers I've discovered, they like it when they hit a bad shot, they'll call the word mulligan. Now, if you know what a mulligan is, it's a polite way for saying, "I want a do-over. I want to hit another ball because that one's either on the other side of the interstate or it's in the rough and I simply don't want to go find it and play it, so I'll just take a new one." Now, if you play with me, I allow my competitors to have mulligans because I really don't care about the rules. It's about fellowship and fun. And an old duffer like me, if I can get it in the hole, that's all the better. But if you open up the rule book for the PGA, you will not find the word mulligan anywhere. In fact, mulligan is a way of cheating in the game. People like to call mulligan when their ball they strike goes out of bounds or it goes somewhere that they can't play it, like that the rough, that long grass along the fairway. It's tough to hit a ball from there if you can find it. See, I bring this up because spiritually speaking, Carolyn acknowledged before God that her lie, her placement as a result of her sin, was unplayable. She realized that before God, she had been out of bounds according to God's will for her. Therefore, her ball was out of play. Now, this wasn't due to her intentions or her motivation. It was due to the old sinful Adam that dwelled within her each and every single day. And she struggled with that all the way to the end of her life. The reason I know that is because she would sit kind of over in that area. That's the Oakleberry area. And she would stand and confess her sins with the rest of the congregation. She had acknowledged that she was a poor, miserable sinner, like everyone else did. And she would also confess that she had sinned against God in her thought, words, and deeds, and that she had not loved him or her neighbor as herself. So therefore, ultimately, she knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that she deserved God's present and eternal punishment for all the times when she missed the mark. Not the fair way, but God's will for her and her life. And therefore, she was not surprised when this last Wednesday, October the 2nd of 2019, came, and that death claimed her, because she understood from Scripture that the wages of sin is death, and that she was a sinner. In fact, all of us are. In fact, Scripture says that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and there is not a righteous man, no, not one. And ladies, you're not off the hook. Man is kind of universal. There's no one who's righteous, whole Jesus Christ. We don't want to think about it, though, do we? You know, funeral directors beg people to come do their preparations for their funeral years in advance, and they buy your stone and all that stuff, and I encourage you to do that. The only reason I did is because we had a daughter that died, and it forced me to do it. But most of us don't want to think about death. We don't want to think about our life's ends. In fact, we do everything we can to avoid it. We exercise to extend our lives as long as we can. We take medication so the life we live will be more pleasant as long as we can have it pleasant. But ultimately, we know that our medication or exercise will not save us, because in the end, death's sullen stream is rising higher and higher every single day. And perhaps for some of you today, your feet are literally dangling in the water. Death is just around the corner for you, and don't worry. If I don't beat you there, I'll be there shortly thereafter. But one thing I love about golf is finding lost balls. At a recent Pastor's Masters, I got four pastors together. We went and played, and we were terrible. We were last in all the pastors. And on one particular hole, I'd struck my ball, and it flew into the rough. And I kind of eyeballing kind of where it landed so I could go find it again. And it was a Titleist ball with the Nebraska logo on it, and I wanted it back. Because it was best ball, my partners went that way, and I went that way. And I began to zigzag back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, trying to find my ball. And lo and behold, I found 9 balls. Not one of them was mine. It was kind of like an adult Easter egg hunt. I come walking out of the rough, pockets full of balls. It was awesome. But the truth be told, I'm never too proud to roll up my sleeves or my pant legs to go into a water hazard to get my ball back. Because it's mine, it belongs to me, and I want it back. My point is this: when Carolyn was living her life out of bounds, it wasn't Carolyn who went looking for Jesus. Jesus Christ went looking for her. He humbled himself, being wrapped in human flesh. He came into this world, born of that virgin in that lowly place of Bethlehem. Who'd ever heard of it? And he walked the dusty roads of Palestine, and ultimately he went to the cross of Calvary because he knew the sins of Carol, and he knew the forgiveness for her would only come at the price of his life, his suffering, and his death upon the cross for her. It was because Jesus was willing to lay down his life for her that she was no longer lost. She was most assuredly found. She was found in the arms of her loving good shepherd, who not only loved her to the point of giving up his life for her, but he loved her to the point where he went to find her and to bring her into the kingdom of God. Now, if you know Carolyn Oakleberry, you know that she loved to cook. And we talked about this for a while, and I promised the family I wouldn't share everything. But then Angie discovered her ability to cook when she used to work in Omaha, and they lived with her here in Lincoln, and she'd commute back and forth to the law firm, and they were living a short time before they got their own place. Every night, they said, she would cook a huge, like, 2-entree meal. It was never enough just to have, like, tacos. It had to be a bunch of other stuff, too. And Dan said he paid for it over the next few months because he put on some weight. See, the reality is, she loved to cook. She loved to provide for other people. They also told about the tailgate. She went for the first time here, right? And she was so excited to be there. And it was at Nebraska tailgate and all that stuff. She had had them everywhere she lived. She'd host a Husker tailgate. But it was finally in Lincoln. It was here. And she enjoyed it. And when it was all said and done, she told Angie, I'll bring all the food next time. But Carolyn, that's not how a tailgate works. Everybody brings something to share. It's okay. I've got it all. And I was under good advice that perhaps there was that Omaha, that South Omaha meal of the Kluski and noodles has served today. Perhaps. Kluski and sauerkraut. I messed it up. Or, if you're lucky and cross your fingers, it might be the five cheese macaroni and cheese that literally sticks to your ribs. And if you have a heart condition, I don't recommend you eat it today. But it's boiled in water to just a perfect texture. But you see, our Heavenly Father knew Carolyn Oakleberry. He knew all of her needs. Do you realize that He led her to those still waters? It was probably, what was it, back in the spring of 1944 at Cross Lutheran Church, the Good Shepherd led her to those still waters where He washed away her sins and He ushered her into His very own flock, calling her His very own. It was a magnificent day for her. See, the Good Shepherd knows her and knows her by name because His name is upon her. Because the Good Shepherd knew Carolyn so well that He called her by name and acknowledged her as His own sheep. In the same way that Carolyn acknowledged Him in 1958, once again at Cross Lutheran, when she was 14 years old, she stood before that body of believers and confessed Christ to be her Savior and her only means of eternal life when she went through the rite of confirmation. She did it because God's Word declares that if you confess Me before men, I will confess you before My Father in heaven. Because the Good Shepherd knew her so well, He led her to the green pastures. You know, once again, she sat right over in that area. I remember every Sunday she was here practically every Sunday, and she'd make her way along that wall, and she'd come and kneel at the communion rail about right there, and she would literally feast in the green pasture of Christ's flesh and blood, given and shed for her, for the forgiveness of all of her sins, and it strengthened her faith even unto the very last day of her life. You see, the Good Shepherd knew her, and He knew exactly what she needed to join Him ultimately in eternal life. Once again, if you know Carolyn Oakleberry, you know she had a penchant for moving. Over the years, and I think you missed one in the obituary, Rich. Over the years, she had residences in many states, including Nebraska, California, Alaska, Utah, Washington, and Missouri. And perhaps some more that we're not aware of. And when she applied for a federal job, they did a background check, and she declared 36 different residencies along the way of her life. 36! Did I ever tell you I hate to move? 36 residences. But the reality was, her sister recently said that she had so many different addresses, but now she's finally found the right one. I think that's the best quote of the day. She has finally found the right one. Because her address now just simply reads heaven. Today, Carolyn doesn't pull around in an oxygen cart to give her the breath of life. She's literally in the presence of the Good Shepherd, the giver of life. And as the book of Revelation says, where she's at, there is no more death. There's no more mourning. There's no more crying or pain anymore, for those former things have all simply passed away. If you know Carolyn, you knew that she was organized. In fact, I insisted maybe she was a little OCD. Kitchen cabinets impeccable, the filing cabinet, everything in its place. Things are so easy to find. But I want you to imagine that as the next few days, as you sort through her belongings, that you come across a letter addressed to me, her favorite pastor, as she told me. Imagine it saying something like this, and she'll help me with my sermon. She would say, Pastor Bloom, of all things, tell them about Jesus. Tell them that the forgiveness I've received is there for them too if they simply trust in God's gift of His only Son, Jesus Christ. Tell them that the one born in Bethlehem is the same one who died upon the cross of Calvary and rose victorious on Easter morning, that they may have the same eternal life that I now enjoy. Pastor Bloom, tell them. Tell them not to mourn for me as if they have no hope, but tell them of the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Tell them, Pastor, tell them that I love them and that I will see them again. Please tell them, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Would you tell them that, please? Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.